following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
This episode from Radioland brought to you by our friends at Central Barbecue. Go hungry. Yes, you're going to want to eat a lot. If you're in Memphis and you find one of the three locations here in town, go hungry. All right, now, the rest of you that are outside of the area are sitting there going, dude, you're talking about food I can't get because I'm not in Memphis and I miss the Memphis barbecue scene. Dude, calm down, relax. Get online, look for their banner ad at radio-memphis.com. Look for Central Barbecue, or CBQ Memphis is their direct site. Go there, go to the shop, get you some ribs, get you some that pulled pork goodness, the sauces, the spices, all the fun stuff that comes with it. And they'll ship it to you. You live anywhere inside the United States of America, they'll ship it to you. Hello, Detroit, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, New York City. Get you some Central Barbecue and enjoy the fun. Enjoy that taste of Memphis right there on your dinner table. You can order it on a Monday and it'll get there by Wednesday. It's just that simple. Be the envy of everybody you know by getting some Central Barbecue on your table right now. All right, let's get on with the show. Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland. We've had an interesting convention here in town this past couple of weeks here. We've had blues guys that have been coming in literally from all over the world. And also along with that, it's not just musicians that are here. There are also some people that are in the support end. You're going to hear some more about some of these other cats that have been here as well. But on this episode, I was on the air with Kate, Radio Memphis in the Morning, as we do each weekday morning at Radio Memphis. That's radio-memphis.com. And we have a show called Radio Memphis in the Morning that Kate Lucas and I host. And we got busted up in on. Yeah, we did. Jeff Janovitz came by. He's the co-host of the Booze and Blues show with me on Sundays. And he brought with him Mr. Frank Rozak. Frank is he's a promoter. You can find him online at rozakradio.com. That's R-O-S-Z-A-K radio.com. He's a fantastic dude. He knows good talent when he hears it. We're going to talk about what he looks for in an artist before he gets them promotion. Yes, he gets radio play and charting for artists all over the place. And he's really good with promotions and all that good stuff too. So you're going to hear this side of the business a little bit. The hard work that goes into getting an artist promoted and played out there in the world is done through what Frank does. He sat down with Kate and Jeff and I, and we had a little talk, and it went like this. Frank Rozak has joined us Jeff and Kate.
Yes. Little known fact is that Watch It Burn is actually about my car.
Yeah, right about now. Yeah, absolutely. The Blues Music Awards are tonight.
Where?
Downtown.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, that would be at the Cannon Center. I keep wanting to call it the Staples Center. It's the Cannon Center.
It is the Cannon Center.
Not quite the Staples
Center. I still want to call it the Cook Convention Center, but it is.
Oh, did they change names? Or
it used to be the Cook Convention Center, and now it's the Cannon Center because I guess
that's thought
it
was. Camera.
I guess.
I thought it was still the Cook Convention Center, and the Cannon Center sits in it. It's a great room. It really is.
You know. The Cannon Center is around the corner from the Cook Convention Center.
It's not in the same building?
There's this structure thing on the corner that you can walk in.
Oh, the art piece, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's an art piece for making out. And that's the Cannon Center.
That's the car. Yeah, that makes sense.
You make out
so
of the Cannon
Center. So just drive around downtown until you see a statue you can make out in. And then you're at the blues thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. So yeah, that's happening tonight, and it's the VMAs are kind of a it's sort of homecoming week, if you will, for blues artists all over the world. Between that and the International Blues Challenge, the IBC.
Right. Sure. Yep.
Do you ever come in? Did you come in for the IBC?
Yeah. Well, I didn't come in this year, but yeah, I have been. You know, this year, and I think the last time I was here for that was like back in 2014, and I was honored by the Blues Foundation. Okay, a little self promotion.
Yeah, go for
not
it.
Not shameless.
Yeah, no.
But the Blues Foundation awarded moi in 2014 for publicists like the KBA.
Yeah.
Which is like their highest, you know.
Yeah, the Keeping the Blues Alive Award. Yeah, that's a huge, huge deal.
Yeah.
What's the deal? You win that, you can never win it again.
No, not for the same thing. And it's very rare that you actually do. I believe there's one person that actually received it three times, three different categories. Like photography, and I don't remember what else it was. But no, that's not going to happen in my lifetime. Very content. I'm very happy. And
Jeff and I had the opportunity to meet somebody who won the KBA, and that's our friend
Ted Todd.
Oh,
yeah. We got word that he had passed, it was just, are you fucking kidding me?
It's another one of those. Yeah. You're talking about it, just hits you, man.
And he and I had we had never met it until that
Mick
night.
Mick introduced us to him. Yep. Brought him with us.
Through Mick. And turned out Ted and I had kind of parallel paths in this business. We had both worked for the Evil Empire in radio, the Clear Channel.
Right. Oh, okay.
And we swapped war stories, and we had a grand time. Just a super super human being, and just a quintessential radio guy, and his show, that Blowtorch Blues thing. And then we got word shortly after that he had died, and I'm like, no, that's not, that has to be wrong.
That's a mind blower.
It is a mind blower.
Real mind blower. I knew exactly where I was, what I was doing. I was in my car. I was just pulling into the gas station in L.A., and of course, I'm on my phone. You're not supposed to be doing the two things.
I can't do two things at the same time. You have to.
I may or may not have a warrant in Beverly Hills for that.
I may by the time I get back.
Right.
And I just picked up my phone for a second, and Mick Colosser, his brother-in-law, literally just posted that. He said something to the effect that his brother-in-law passed away. I don't even know if he said Ted's name.
Right.
But, of course, we knew.
We knew.
Yeah. And I was like, what? No, you got to be kidding me. So I just immediately called Mick, and he answered his phone, and I just said, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm like, are you? Because he was staying with them.
He was here for the IBCs.
Well, they were going down to the Juke Joint Festival.
That's right, the Juke Joint Festival. Right? That's right. That's
in what
in Clarksdale.
That's the word I was looking for.
Right down
that's
the road.
And I was just like,
because Ted would always come to the town and stay with Mick for IBCs and for Juke Joint.
Yeah, right.
I think for
you would always stay with Mick.
Yeah, I always stay.
What
with
the
Mick.
Fuck do I pay for hotel? I got a brother-in-law. Yeah, so, I mean, he was literally that day, they were supposed to jump in the car, the both of them go down to Clarksdale.
Yeah.
Mick was going to perform, and he went. Mick still went down, but the next day, and then, what do you call that when you, you dedicate.
Yeah.
Dedicated the show.
Yeah.
Or more than I am sometimes. Dedicated the show to Ted. I mean, I was just like. Still am.
You
said his name, and like,
it's just it's sad and it's unfortunate, and yet you know we still talk about him, so that's a good thing, you know, and we always will.
Well, I think really one thing we really connected with Ted about, because I just remember hanging out with him that night, and he was like, you know, the thing about my blues show is we don't play old stuff. I'm wanting to hit people to the new artists, what's going on now, which is what we try to do.
We do dedicate a little bit of time to the older stuff.
Yeah, of course we do.
A little bit, but not much. Yeah, we tip our hat, if you will.
But it was just that spirit of, hey, the blues isn't dead. You know, there's still stuff happening. And Ted was all about that.
Yep,
sure. Now, I've seen you guys tip a lot of things down here, but never a hat.
Never a hat.
Not with a ponytail. I don't wear hats anymore.
I'm with you,
I grew my ponytail.
It gets to be kind of a problem. Let me ask you, Frank, what do you look for in an artist before you bring them in and before you decide to dedicate some of your time, which is incredibly valuable? What do you look for? You're looking for work ethic, you're looking for talent, obviously, but I mean, is there a checklist that you go through?
Yeah, good question, actually. One thing I always sort of demand, believe it or not, is I have to have a phone conversation with them. I don't do
Seems
shit.
Simple.
You know, but it's amazing sometimes, like if I'll get an email or a Facebook message and I say, well, you know, they want to know this and they want to know that. I'm like, oh, hold on. You know what I mean? And I'm like, before we do anything, you know, we're going to have a phone conversation.
Yeah.
That's really it. And you'd be really surprised how things kind of turn around. All of a sudden, well, you know, I don't know, and I'm really busy, and I'm not so sure. Well, then I'm like, you know, see you.
Yeah.
Some
yeah.
other time. But I have to have a phone conversation. I have to get a feel for who they are. I want to know that we're going to be able to communicate. You have to be able to communicate. I have to be able to communicate with you, because if we don't have that, then we have nothing.
That's right.
Like number one.
Right.
But you said a number of things that are absolutely important. One, work ethic.
Oh, yeah.
Like here.
Yeah.
Integrity, like, you know, right next to it. Yeah. You know, all that commitment.
But you got to, I guess you got to, you have to hear that from them, though,
you
right?
You got to get it from them.
Yeah. Yeah. So is it an interview process that you go through?
Yeah, kind sort of, kind yeah. of. You know what yeah. I mean? That phone call just tells me a lot.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I listen, and even in communications, you know, I pay attention, and then we kind of see how it sort of goes every now and again.
Yeah.
You know, they started, yeah. you know, going to the left, and I'm like, well, okay, guys, I think we need to come back
in. Just reel it back in a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Some, I understand that if I don't hear from them, that, but I see what they're doing. We're comfortable with each other.
Yeah.
They trust me. Job's getting done. I'm communicating with them. Mm-hmm. I don't have to hear back from them every single time I send them some information.
Right.
But to me, we have to have a mutual respect. You know, now there are times when, let's say, there was a band or an artist or whatever, you know, and they may not, let's say, be, I don't know, make any kind of reference, the next Buddy Guy or the next John Mayall, whatever. But, you know, they've got it. They've got something that's just really...
There's a spark in there that's just going to catch somewhere.
Yeah, and they deserve to be heard.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, you know, it's a growing process.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that. I want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And I'll work with somebody. You know,
yeah,
at that level.
So you know, your level of work too is in promotion.
Yeah,
are you involved in distribution at all?
No.
I know that's a dicey game
yeah,
as it
that's
is.
Like something that's another animal.
So, but just getting them out there. Once they've got a record, they can come to you and say, yeah. you know, I think we've got something here. What can you do to help us? So you help exactly. expand their audience a little.
Yep. We just try and you know increase. We build. You know, an analogy I always make is you know you plant the tree. Before it's going to bear fruit, you
right.
know, you got to take care of it, you know, you got to water it, you got to fertilize it, you got to whatever, and eventually, you know what I mean?
Right.
You'll be able to one day pick the lemon off the tree and squeeze it and have it run down your leg, you know, so.
Great reference, nice.
Yeah, guys. Right, exactly. Yeah.
Robert Johnson just smiled somewhere. So radio play is pretty key then.
Very, 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 very.
And with the death of FM radio, the death of AM radio that's happening right now.
Yeah.
You got stations like this one. You've got satellite that's still viable out there. There's more and more blues outlets that are coming out there. So I guess some of your horizons are starting to open up a little bit too to get artists into newer discovery.
Yeah,
venues,
yeah,
right?
yeah. You always have to. Things are a constant change.
Yeah,
as you know.
Yeah.
Would you say that Bluesville is kind of the pinnacle? If you can get them there, you can get them anywhere.
Say it again, I'm sorry.
Like Bluesville, the SiriusXM,
you like Bill Wax in them? Or?
Well, Bill Wax is like, he's one of a kind.
Oh, yeah,
and,
well, yeah, he's
you
something
know,
else, yeah.
When that guy was there, he was, to us, to all of us, the artists, the promotion people, whatever, the blues community, he was the spokesperson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was the man.
Mm-hmm.
And when he departed, you know, I don't care if they're listening. It just went. Tony Coulter is the only other guy. He's the only DJ that's left on Bluesville.
Yeah.
Nobody else is home.
Right.
He's it. Unfortunately, and a lot of artists don't understand that Tony is a great guy, would do anything for anybody.
Right.
It's not his job. He's a DJ there.
Yeah.
Right. So
Bill was more the tastemaker. Yeah.
Bill
yeah.
was the program director.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so he gave everybody that opportunity. I mean, Tony, unfortunately, is not in that position. I don't know if he wants to be in that position. And,
right.
You know, I see things on Facebook at times, and, you know, Bluesville is not what it was. Definitely not.
No.
I don't think ever will be again.
Right.
With Bill being gone or somebody in charge there that really cares about the genre and the new artist, the up-and-coming artist or whatever, it's just not going to be the same.
Well, you know, when Low Society, when they got on,
they were like, oh, they loved
take
him.
Take a picture of their radio screens and put them up. And I mean, all of us here is like, dude, that's, you guys,
that's incredible. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
But you're right. I honestly.
That's few and far between today for an artist that, like Low Society,
They don't do the click to pick.
It's like, so when that happened, that was like a major, you know.
Well, I thought, you know, when they merged the SiriusXM channels, I was a little bummed just because that meant, well, now we've only got one Blues station.
We already knew the shit was hitting the fan back then, and then eventually it would just,
And when we put this Blues show together here on Radio Memphis, I mean, it's only 3 hours once a week, and I do play a lot of Blues during regular programming here, but I felt that at that time that it was important that we at least dedicate some time to this because of where we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People
look
for Memphis, they look for the Memphis music scene, and this is the home of the Blues.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And to get those artists out means a lot to me personally. And it's been a great ride for Discovery for Jeff and I to hear some of these artists that have just cropped up. And it's like, hey, we've got this record. We've never really heard any bad blues, to be honest with you.
Oh, I have.
Yeah, you got that doctor.
I can back you up on that one too.
That Swedish record that you had.
Hasse Klippar. Yeah, he's out of Sweden. He's
that one was bad. Sorry, Hasse.
But yeah, this is a guy who's never been here, and he's been exposed to the blues through the traditional methods, but his. You know, I guess the lens that he looks at this area through is a little tinted, you know, and he wants so badly to be a part of it, but he's quite there. But there again, we've heard
not his calling.
Malted Milk, Tony Green's band.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a group of Frenchmen who. Yeah,
I'm not familiar.
Oh my God, they're just
Tony
north
Green,
of
not a female.
Tony Green, Memphis.
She now lives just north of Paris, and she's hooked up with this band called Malted Milk, and they are the most incredible band. These guys sound like they just walked out of Stax.
Really?
Yeah.
They barely speak English.
Right. And she's in France.
In France, right. And they are laying down some sounds. Get the current record. It's called Milk
and
Green.
She's awesome.
Yes, she is.
She's incredible.
I'm familiar with her. You know, I don't really know, but I've heard her and I'm familiar with her.
Well, you know, she came up through Willie Mitchell, through the High Rhythm.
The High Rhythm section.
She's hard on these guys.
Howard Grime.
They weren't playing at the level she's used to playing with High Rhythm section, she did.
Oh, yeah.
She'll get all over them.
We've had her in here a couple of times, and when she tells these stories about working with these French guys, and it's like, they get it. They understand it. Yeah. And they are like they're just a machine.
There's a huge blues community in France.
That's what I hear. That's what I keep hearing.
A coalition totally dedicated and devoted to French-speaking blues radio.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Do you rep any French artists?
Do I rep any French artists?
You need to call Tony, I can tell you that.
Not yet.
Yeah. You should get a hold of her. She's absolutely delightful and one of the most dynamic entertainers you'll ever see. And that band, like I said, I can't say enough good
things
about it.
Malted Milk.
Yeah.
Malted Milk. Okay.
Yeah. The current record is called Milk and Green. I gave it to you. It may be over there.
What's it called?
Milk and Green.
Milk and Green.
Milk and Green. Yeah. And it may be in the upper stack over there. Jeff.
Oh.
Yeah, it may be up there. It's to hear another country interpret what's happening here and not be able to understand, not even be able to tell that they're not even from here. You know, because you would think for a lot of musicians that are here, they finally get it, they understand it, and it's like, we grew up with this, it's in the water, it's in the people, there's all this stuff, but when you hear it played back, it's the echo.
Sort of like transcend, you know.
And then it's like, wow, that's the exact same thing. She hipped us to the Pareto.
Soul and Blues.
Yeah, the Soul and Blues.
Soul and Jazz Festival.
Soul and Jazz. Like, yeah. Right, and there's a town in the Alps that is basically like a little Memphis. There's Rufus Thomas Park. There's Elvis Presley Boulevard. All these cities or these streets are named after after artists here.
It's amazing. Isn't
it's incredible. Yeah, absolutely incredible. The European scene is so big, and as you know, Low Society, when they went over there, they were, of course, they were oddly enough caught up in that whole business
Exactly.
Oh, it was terrifying.
I mean, you know, you couldn't have been at the worst place. The worst possible.
They were in the. Weren't they in Belgium at the time that happened?
They were in Belgium, and actually, it happened, I think, the day before they were supposed to leave. They shut down the whole subway system. They couldn't even get out of there to get to the airport. They had to get a ride.
Yeah,
I believe.
Yeah.
So that, you know,
it's scary. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad it worked out for them.
Man alive.
So.
That up here. I'll look again.
Jeff bought it. It was only available in France.
Yeah, I ordered it off Amazon UK. It's a great album.
Oh, it is really, really good.
It's like an import or something like that.
You can find them on YouTube. And
I got to check it out. Yeah, for sure I will.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, Steve. Have you got any artists that are up for BMAs tonight?
Well, Zora Young is up for a BMA.
Right.
And I worked with
her. That's right. I knew that.
Yeah, I worked with her on this record. That she collaborated with this other guy from Florida, Little Mike and the Tornadoes. And Little Mike was a harp player, and he goes like way back playing with Pine Top Perkins and Ubin Somlem. And he used to back all those guys up. And Zara, you know, was, you know, the front person, you know, for that band with everybody in it. So Little Mike did this record just recently and had, you know, Zara. Sing on it and stuff. So, yeah. So she got nominated for a BMA. And then somebody else, too. I can't remember who else. But, you know. Well, I hope she wins. You know, made a best man or woman, you know.
It looks good on your resume, for sure. Yeah, right, you know?
Exactly. Won a BMA.
So when an artist comes to you and you decide, hey, I was going to mention this earlier.
Yeah.
I know you've probably dealt with enough artists because over the years, you can kind of tell who's got the work ethic and who's not. Well, we get so much music submitted to us. So many, you know, so many bands want to get on the air. You can kind of
who's phoning it in and who's got it right.
You can tell who's got it a little bit. Yeah, who's got potential at least. Maybe not necessarily who's going to go the distance, but
you got potential.
You got potential. But so when an artist.
And if you play bass, it just may have somebody I can introduce you to.
Put that fucking thing in tune, for God's sake. What are you doing?
And if you're upright.
If you're upright, you've got some support. Yeah.
Hold down the low end.
Looking for an upright man.
There's a blues song right there, really.
There is.
I think you may have something Kate. Yeah.
So work that into your...
It's a double entendre.
Yeah, it is. Most blues is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you got to remember, Leo Bud Welch got a handful of her one night down here.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Tell us.
No, we were posing for a photo. He was down here, and I came down to help guest host. They were both here. I don't know why the hell I was here.
Oh, you had a thing for Bud. Come on.
Well, no. Bud posed for a picture with me. And he goes, I better not hug you too tight. Your husband over there will get upset. And without thinking about it, I said, that's not my husband. And he grabbed my tit immediately.
And he did what?
Immediately what did he just do? Groped me. I was like, that's not my husband. Whoa, I lied. That's my husband.
Well, he didn't see the no trespassing sign, right? He just saw no husband. No.
He wanted you to take him home.
Yeah.
Oh, he did. And my date, I had a date here with me who was highly amused. Well, he was just like, take him home. Go for it.
Well,
you had to have been at least a little tempted. He's an 80-year-old blues man. It's the real deal.
I was amused. His pink guitar was really sexy.
Well, Jeff, you were telling me Bud
came up. There's a reason he had that pink guitar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Titties. No. Maybe he was just checking me for cancer. Maybe that's all it was.
Yeah.
Now,
he was trying to help.
You were telling me Bud came up in a podcast not long ago, and he's really made some really big waves here of late, too.
Yeah, he's been recording in Nashville with Dan Auerbach. I just heard that. Mm. Yeah, Dan Auerbach's like, yeah, I've been working on this new album with this blues guy named Leo Bud Welch, and I was listening to his podcast. I know Leo. Like, holy shit.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. So yeah. That's huge.
Is his bald-headed manager in Nashville with him?
Probably.
Who's
that, yeah, no, Bud kept telling me that I should take him home with me, but that we had to sneak past his bald-headed manager because he wouldn't let him go. That was the story.
You, here, this is like you're talking about this stuff and like the 80-year-old blues guy and everything else, and up until, you know, his passing, it just still, you know, I mean, we live in a... Look, we're in the music business. So
sure.
Look, we come across a lot of shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't even know. I mean, you know, I know there's like volumes in there with all our experiences over time, you know, but still, it never ceases to amaze me every now and again. Like up until the passing of like Pine Top.
Yeah.
I mean, God, you know, God rest his soul. God bless. He's one of the few photos that I have actually on my website is like me and Pine Top, and if you want to see like what a really white guy with white hair looks like next to the Deep South, man, you want to talk about contrast, it's like, but anyway, you go to the BMAs, and it used to crack me up, and I would see him sitting there like on an old, you know, plastic
right.
bottle container or something like that, and just like puffing away. And he was like 92, 93 or whatever.
Right.
He gave up smoking cigarettes only like maybe a year before he passed
That's
away.
That's probably killed him.
The stress of quitting will do you in. Yeah.
Right.
At that point.
At that point,
have you heard about this documentary, Sidemen, that's coming out? I think it's supposed to be Sundance.
Is it really?
Yeah, I saw the trailer for it. It's a documentary about Pine Top Perkins and Hubert Sumlin. I can't remember the third.
I think I saw the trailer. Sent me the trailer.
Like, they started making this documentary about these three cats that all played through Chess Records.
Mm.
They started making it when all three of them were alive, and it was supposed to be about, you know, their life as sidemen, you know, the guys that backed up Howlin' Wolf and Muddy, and nobody really knew who they were. And in the course of making the documentary, all three of them passed away. So they had to kind of change what the documentary is about. But it looks fascinating. I
wonder if it's done by the same guys that did the, what is it, 15 Feet from Stardom? Or 20 Feet from Stardom, whatever that. You remember that about the backup singers that were playing with like the Stones and Steely Dan?
That's a good documentary. I love a good music documentary, I'll be honest with you. Yeah, I could just watch that all day long.
Frank, you need to get back into town this fall for the Bonafide Blues Festival.
Yeah, when does that occur?
That'll be September 30th and October 1st.
Okay.
Last year was the inaugural, and it went really, really well, and it was.
I heard it was
so much fun.
Didn't it used to happen like years ago though? And it's outdoor.
It was
the
like
first
40
blues
years
festival
ago.
We've had in Memphis in almost 60 years.
Was it 6 years or
50? 50 years.
No, because Leo played the last one.
Yeah,
Leo Goff.
1969, they had the Country Blues Festival, what is now the Levitt Shell, and that was the last actual blues festival that Memphis had. Now, we've had the Bill Street Music Festival.
Yeah, right.
But that's always been more than just blues. And so the Blues Society last year got, they got a challenge grant from, I think, from the Tennessee Arts Commission to put on a blues festival in Memphis. But they had to, like, basically, we'll give you X amount of money, but you've got to meet that, and then we'll cut you a check.
Right.
And so, and it was kind of late in the game to start playing. It was like February. Before, we're trying to do a blues
not
festival
a lot
in
of
October.
Time,
no,
really,
no, no, not for a first one either.
Mm-hmm.
But we managed to pull it together. And
It worked out really well.
Yeah, it's successful enough that they're getting to do it again.
That's
so
great. Yeah, actually, I think I remember hearing
all
about that.
Artists from with a 100-mile radius.
Right, right. So I think Ghost Town was on there.
Ghost Town.
And Mississippi Bigfoot. I mean, who wasn't on there, really? I mean, how many stages?
We had two free outdoor stages and three inside venues that the wristbands would get you into.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I think we had 45 acts. And I know. The president of Blues said, John Gimbel said, we could have 45 acts this year and not repeat anybody. There's just so much talent.
Yeah, because now they're coming to want to be on this thing.
Yeah.
So,
but I know Vince Johnson's definitely in this year.
Oh,
as he should be.
They haven't announced the lineup yet, but I know Vince Johnson. I think Cedric's going to be part of it this year.
Right.
Yeah.
The Grammy nominated Cedric Grammy Grant. Nominated.
No kidding.
Yes.
Yeah. Great record.
BMA nominated. Yeah. He's up for three tonight.
So. Boy, I really had hoped he was going to win. I mean, nothing against Buddy Guy.
But yeah, but what are you going to do when you're in the same categories, Buddy Guy?
That's what I say. You know what I mean? It's like...
If, be happy with the nod and move along.
We first met Brandon Santini. He was up for the BMA for instrumentalist on harmonica. And it was him and then Kim Wilson and James Cotton. And he's like, there's no way I'm going to get to this. But to be put in that same... group that's
that's killer. Yeah. That's great, but there does come a time when, in my humble opinion, that you need to like say, look, thanks very much. I really appreciate it. This is great. I mean, but you know, let's start to consider.
But the thing about Buddy Guy is he's still making killer albums. It's not like he's slacking.
I'd say, you know, I know, I get it, but there does.
I mean, if he was just phoning it in at this point, it'd be one thing, but he's still...
No, he doesn't phone it in. Yeah, because you just saw him not long ago, and you said it was just an incredible show.
Yeah, down in Tunica.
Well, you know, I guess in time, but yeah, to be nominated for something as distinguished as a, you know, like a Grammy, and if you know that still one of the few greats that are still alive put out a record that year, or if someone had just passed, and then you know they're going to put out a record posthumously, it's just like you're screwed,
you don't have a chance.
Yeah. Ain't gonna happen.
Well, I have sneaking suspicion Cedric's going to win his best album BMA tonight.
Yeah,
I hope he does.
He's in the traditional category, and Buddy Guy's album is in the contemporary category.
He'll probably do
Cedric, that album's amazing. I don't know if you... Yeah. Sorry, I hate that.
No, Descendants of Hill Country is really probably one of the better records.
You know, again, you get doing this long enough, you kind of get jaded to it. That's great music. Doesn't mean I listen to it in a car all the time. Cedric, I've got that album in rotation constantly.
He's great. Well, yeah. I mean, look at his history. Days? You know what I mean?
He did that album in 3 days. 2 days to track, one.
2 days
to
track, one to mix and master. Talk about phoning it in.
Yeah, exactly. And let's see the Stones do a record like that.
Yeah.
Apparently, they got some stuff. Did you guys hear about this? They went back, and they're going back to their roots, and apparently they recorded a blues record, and it was just, it's what I heard. They just got together. It was just live. It was just in the studio, and they just, like, banged it out. None of this, you know, where it takes 6 months, a year, or 2 years just, with these guys.
They did a bar band style.
Where do I get it?
I don't know.
I'm wondering if this is tied to the old cocksucker blues that they had that had been bouncing around since the, was it mid-70s, I think. And there was a documentary that was done on that.
Right. I recall that, yeah.
And there was apparently a track that had, I mean, there was a whole record that was behind that, and it got shelved for whatever reason, and maybe
cocksucker may have had
something to do with it. But they may have gone back and maybe redone that, I guess, with some of the newer stuff, the newer tech.
They said. I don't know. I saw it somewhere, and I think it was Keith Richards that was saying it. And you know, they just got together, went in the studio, and they just banged out a bunch of stuff and went back to their roots. And you know, because Lord knows, I mean, if those guys weren't influenced by...
Right. Well, they were a cover band. That's how they started
out. They were a blues band for
God's sake. Yeah, exactly. You know? Right. Yeah. You know, so... Anyway, you guys, man, I got to tell you, I'm just blown away and so appreciative of having all the artists, I mean, come here, finding you guys out. You know, and I never like to, you know, overstay my welcome. So I'm always kind of like, well, let me see. They just had so-and-so here, and they just had someone. Oh, man, no, I can't ask again.
Oh, no, anytime. Frank, we built this for your artists. Mm-hmm. We've built this for any of these artists that want to get out there and get a, you know, I hate that term exposure, but that's what they're going to get here.
Right.
You know, we're global.
Mm-hmm. We have something cool. Something Avril pointed out, too, we got a show on Thursday night. It's called the Live Music Hour. It's actually 2 hours, but it's kind of genre agnostic. You know, it'd be singer-songwriter, could be a rap act, could be... But Avril, who co-hosts, said she pointed out that for a lot of those artists, it's like their first radio interview, and it's a big deal to them.
Yeah. It is a big deal, even if you've done 50 or 100 or 1,000. Anytime you have an opportunity like that, where you get to connect in a very personal kind of way, it's important.
Whether it's your longtime fans or you get some people that are going to, hey, I want to check it out. I mean, so many listeners, younger listeners these days, are turning to places like here and elsewhere to discover new music. And we're proud to be a part of that whole
process. You guys are really doing it and doing it right. And you know, everybody that ever came this way that you guys welcomed with open arms always came back to me and said, "Wow, that was
really
like, yeah." That's really cool.
That's Wendy, a great compliment. Yeah.
The wait is still like going, oh my God, oh please, when you go over there, you know, be sure you let them know how much, you know, and everybody's like, and how I found out about you guys actually was through Mick Colossus. Because Mick
really?
Was telling,
oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, when I first started, only a couple of years ago, when we first started to work together, he really keeps me informed. I mean, you know, guys like Mick, you know, they've been around the block. They know what they're doing. And they got folks here and folks there. And, you know, so, but he keeps me informed so we could be on the same page knowing what's going on.
Yeah.
And he sent me a note from when I worked on his first record. And he's like, oh, by the way, you know, I'm going to be on with, you know, Radio Memphis and such date and time, just so you know, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, Radio Memphis, okay. Well, I think I'm going to have to find out who they are, you know what
well,
I mean?
We're glad you found us out and came down.
Hey, man, thanks for, you know.
Anything we can ever do for you, Frank, just,
thank
you know.
You. Really appreciate it.
Keep sending those artists our way, for sure.
Yeah. Well,
you're not you're welcome at all.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, commercial radio, and as you know, and...
send, you know, bass players.
I'm going to be on the lookout. I assure you. You know what I mean? I'll help you out there.
Memphis needs them.
Is that the new sort of payola?
That is, yeah.
And you know, and that's legal. Really, play the music.
You know, you get Kate laid with a good bass player,
we
then
win
you know.
A contest.
Yeah, we should. Yeah. Win a date with Kate. Jesus. Yeah.
Win a date with Kate.
You know what? We may be on to...
I think we might have
something.
We might
be on to something. You got to be careful, man. I'm like a social media maniac, you know? I got people that just do this for me all day long.
Wait, so. Does my comedy get promoted, like, in the fray?
Hey...
She'd give it up for a bass player for some.
I think she would. Yeah, I think so.
For a bass player and some good PR. That's I can do it.
He's the PR machine. Speaking of which,
we'll get it done. I assure you. You know,
are you accepting people to find you?
Anytime.
Yeah, where can they find you?
Always. Let me see. Well, you know, Facebook. Just look me up, Frank Rozak, Rozak. My website is Frank Rozak Promotions with an S. .com, and that's it. That's all. Really,
you see cool. What happens. Yeah.
Mind me asking, what is the ethnicity of Rozak? What's the origin?
It's actually Polish. My dad, my dad is a combination of Polish and Norwegian. We know very little about them, but obviously, the more apparent, the more dominant. Grew up in a household of Italians, all from the other side.
Huh.
That's my mother's side of the family, and we grew up in one big house in Brooklyn. And, you know, it was a sight to see.
Janowitz is Czech, so like we Slavs are going to stick together, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you guys. I mean, really.
Thanks for taking time to come down here today.
Oh, no, my pleasure, man. Absolutely.
So excited.
Get me out of that hotel room and, you know.
Well, listen, Frank, anytime you're in town, you have a home here, you got a base camp right here, so
thank you.
Come pay us a visit anytime you're on.
I'd love to. Yeah. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And we're going to find that bass player.
Very good. All right. Thank you so much.
I'm on the mission now, like with the Blues Brothers.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
I had to bring one of my heroes down here.
Yes.
The imaging voice. You probably know our Blues and Blues audience would know him as the imaging voice for B.B. King's Bluesville, but he is a renaissance man. He's an actor. He's a performer.
Yes.
A true entertainer. I'm building him up.
He's looking around the room like, who the hell are you talking about?
But we've got Big Lou Johnson here in the studio with us, which is huge for me.
You want me to say something?
There's that voice.
I could not get enough of Jimmy Durante.
Really? Yeah.
You know, and so I learned from Jimmy Durante that you don't have to have a great voice. You just got to learn how to sell a song. I don't give a shit if you sound like a beast whale. As long as you can convey the message of that song and you can, somebody, when they see you, they can feel it and they can hear it, you know.
Yeah.
Then that's it.
And that's what I do.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, Here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
If you're looking for that unique gift for somebody, perhaps, or you want to shop for yourself, we recommend a really cool place called Wizards. It's an alternative smoke shop here in town. Been around a long time. They're in Midtown or over on Madison Avenue, 1999 Madison. They're open 7 days a week, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Hey, they could be open right now, really. And they've got some really cool stuff. It's just a very different sort of unique gift shop. They've like I said, they've been around forever. And they're available online. And they are the source here in town for the really groovy original lava lamps. And they come in different styles and flavors. And really, it's really cool. Flavors. Like you're going to eat one. You could, I suppose. But if you want to learn more about them, go to their website. You can find their banner off of ours at radio-memphis.com. Look for Wizards or search wizardsmemphis.com. It'll take you right there to it. Buy it with confidence. They'll ship it right to you wherever you are. Support a Memphis business and get yourself something really groovy. They got some cool shirts and hats and all sorts of fun stuff too. So take a look at Wizards. They've been one of the sponsors of this program for a while now, and we're glad to have them aboard. During this conversation we had with Frank, we talked a little bit about Miss Toni Green. Toni, of course, has been on this show a couple of times. And if you want to learn more, you can find, if you haven't heard those episodes, look for her where the show is hosted, Podbean. Look for rickcheddar.podbean.com, and you can find it there. And just search Toni Green, T-O-N-I, Green. And you'll hear it. And I wanted to play this tune. Now, Frank hadn't heard him. And I know Frank's tuned in right now, and he's listening to all of this business. So I tell you what, Frank, since you haven't had a chance to look him up yet, I'm going to play you some right now. This is from the current record that is out from them. It's only available in Europe right now. And, well, you can buy it off of Amazon. Amazon UK, I think, has it. And that's how we got it. It's a great tune. It is... One of the more fascinating looks. I mean, you got to remember, this is a band that they are from Paris, France. They barely speak any English, but they've got the Memphis sound down. Hell yeah! The album is called Milk and Green. The band is called Malted Milk. It's got Toni Green singing on it. You've heard the live version of this song in a previous episode of the show. Here's the studio version from that record, available in Europe. It's called Just Call Me, and it's right here from Radioland.
Bye.
man. That's a groove. Get you going. Keep you going. Man, that is fantastic. You've heard what's coming up on the program, too. How about that? Yes. Some more cool people that have just joined us on the ranks here from Radioland, and they're going to keep right on coming. Oh, mercy sakes alive. So keep it here. If you're new to the program, welcome to it. You can find us on iTunes and a ton of other places Joel will tell you about. And you can drop us a line at Radioland@PirateRadioStudios.com. That's an email address for those of you that are hip to that sort of thing. Also, we are now in the Google Play Store. You can find us there. If you have an Android phone and you're a subscriber to the Google Play thing, get us there. It's absolutely free. It always has been and pretty much will always be, as far as I can tell, for the foreseeable future. So enjoy it while it is. Ah, yeah, greedy bastards. No, so check it out. Find us there in the Google Play Store and all the other places as well. And if you like what you're hearing, please share it. Tell everybody you know on social media about Radioland. And that does me a lot of good. So I appreciate you doing that, and we hope you enjoy the show. You want to drop us a line, say hey? You're more than welcome to do so. Radioland@PirateRadioStudios.com. That's it for me this time. We'll see you next time. Take care of yourselves and one another, and we'll see you later. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.